for you.
Blog sure. Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. That is my testimony. Hallelujah. I'm moving forward. I have surrendered my life to Christ. Hallelujah. I thank God this morning for each of you. I thank God for his word this morning. I thank God that he is the author and the finisher. Hallelujah, of my life. I give God credit for everything, for all that I am and all that I will be. I give it all to thee. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. As Pastor Christ said, to God be the glory. I give honor, glory, and hallelujah, praise to the Most High God. And I thank him this morning for his awesome and mighty word. What a word this morning. Job is in the courtroom this morning, and he is pleading his case to God. We all go through. We don't know why in some instances. And in others, yeah, we know why, because we made mistakes. We did wrong. We didn't follow God's instruction. We followed the instructions of the sneaky snake. We followed the instructions of Susie. We followed the instructions of Boo Boo and them down the street. We followed the instructions of everybody, the false prophet that was calling themselves prophesizing over our life. We followed everybody but God. And so we're going through because we deserve to go through. We're going through because we did not listen. We didn't listen. But Job wasn't going through because of what he did. He went through because he was faithful. And sometimes we go through because we are faithful to God. We are faithful to his word. We are faithful to his doctrine. We are faithful in all we do, and we go through for that test, because when we get through, we got a testimony. Thanks be to God who causes us to triumph in his name. I'm not meaning to preach this morning, but this word just touched my heart. And the title that God gave us is Blessed is the Man Whom You Instruct, O Lord. Blessed is the man whom you instruct. And when God gives us instructions, sometimes that instruction is a chastisement. Sometimes that instruction is to get our attention, because we're walking down the wrong path. We done stepped out of our square. We trying to live somebody else's life and not the life God has chosen for us. We got to remember who we belong to. So I thank God this morning, but I know I am blessed because I am being instructed. Hallelujah. And I'm going to take my time to do what God called me to do, because God said not to rush in, because fools rush in. We want to take our time and get it right. and speak to the Father and say, okay, Father, give me instruction on what and how I should do this, whatever it is you're calling me to do. We got to trust God. We talked about trust on yesterday. We got to trust God at all things. And even in today's word, it's about trust. Job choosing to trust God. This morning, again, shout out to Morning Glory Nation. Pastor Few was teaching this morning. He was instructing in the Psalms. Hallelujah. And I say today, we got to go to other sources. You know, you go to your church, you listen to your pastors, you get instructions from teachers, from your professors, from those that teach in you, wherever you may be, in school for our children and us. You know, we all are constantly in school for something or another. So I thank God for the pastors that are in my life, who are, and the apostles that are in my life, and the evangelists that are in my life, and the mothers that are in my life. I thank God for awesome women and men of God who instruct through the will of God. So I thank God for all of you. Yeah, you know who you are, and I'm grateful that God placed you all in my life. You know, I thank God for my pastors, Pastor Jesse and Pastor Paul. And I thank God for the pastors that have poured into me. I thank you, Pastor Few. I thank you, Pastor Fred, for you truly have poured in my life. You know, and I thank Prophetess Diane Shaw, who poured into my life. You know, and I thank all the evangelists. I thank you, Minister Evangelist Shannon. You know, for praying all the time. Hallelujah. When I say a prayer warrior, that's a prayer warrior. And there are many others. Sister Carolyn, who is a psalmist at heart, who God is giving a word every day. So I thank God for my sister in Christ. Hallelujah. She is a psalmist. And can I say something? A sister girl can sing. She can sing. God has blessed her with a beautiful voice, and she can sing. And she sings up to God all the time. And so I'm thankful. I'm thankful for God, for his instruction. And his instruction can come in many forms. It can come in the voice of a child. It can come in the voice of somebody you don't even know. Somebody just said something. You know, I was in Sam's Club one day, and this lady had on a shirt that caught my attention, and all it said was, not today, Satan. And we got to talking, and the next thing I know, me and this lady was just preaching up a storm. And then when we was, because the Holy Spirit had just hit the two of us, when I walked out the door, I ran into another couple who had seen my license plate, and we got to talking, and the next thing I know, we out there having a good conversation on the goodness of Lord and how we have to have faith that, ooh, that substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to have, hallelujah, praise the Lord kind of faith. Come on now. God will put people in your path with different things. Pray. Pray and pray some more. You know, we got to have those things in our spirit. As Sister Carolyn said on yesterday, we got to learn how to push. We got to pray until something happens and let God be God. Job had that mentality. He was not saying, I'm perfect, but he was saying, let me speak my beat. Because, you know, everybody want to tell him that he must have did this and he must have did that. And, you know, you had this and you had that, but you don't have that because you must have sinned against God. And these are your friends talking to you like this. Job was going through and he's like, hey, wait a minute. Back it up, folks. Let me tell you my side. And so he went through the whole thing, through this whole word that we're going to read today. Job still said, yet will I trust him. yet will I trust him. We've got to accept our instruction. We've got to trust God. So let's get into our word this morning. Father God in heaven, I thank you for time spent with the Morning Glory Nation this morning. And Pastor Fred, hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for his word. And I give you honor, glory, and I give you praise. And yes, Lord, I accept whatever it is you have for me. Hallelujah. And Lord, I thank you and your mercy this morning. I thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, for the psalmist who praise us, who praise you, who give you honor and glory, who show us how to praise, oh God. I thank you for the psalmist. I thank you for the word of God that touches my heart, mind, and soul. I thank you, Lord, for a new day and breath in my body so I can speak and teach your word, Lord God. Not my word, but your word. Not my will, but your will. Not my way, but your way. For Lord, you are the absolute. You are absolute. You are absolutely my Father, and I know that you love me because you give me instruction, because your word says, spare the rod, spoil the child. Lord God, I accept my instruction, for I need it just as the children of Israel needed those 70 years, Lord God, in captivity to get your, that because they needed, you were trying to get their attention. Lord, you have got my attention over these years, but I know, Lord, that you have not anything but my best interest at heart, for you are my Father, and I am your child. Lord God, I pray for my nation, oh God, as we are going back into this horrible place, and I know, Lord, it is to get our attention, for you showed it to me, that is to get the attention of those who will not see, who will not hear, who will not listen. Father God, I pray for our children. Father, please keep our children covered under the blood of Jesus, that no weapon formed against them will prosper. Lord God, protect our children. Give their parents common sense. Give their parents an understanding that you don't have to be old to die. Father God, I ask you to please watch over this nation and our leadership. Lord, I ask a blessing over the leadership of this nation, that they will be right and righteous men and women of God, that they will not go down the wrong path. Even when people don't want to hear the truth, they will tell the truth so folks can do what is right. Not in their sight, but in your sight. Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth, ooh, hallelujah, that they be acceptable in your sight, Lord God, for you are my strength. You are my redeemer, and my heart belongs to you. Oh, Lord, my heart belongs to you. Father God, I thank you for unhardening my heart. I thank you for the wisdom that you are bestowing on me. I thank you, Lord, for the joy that is in my soul because I love your word and I love you more than anything, Father God. I love you and I'm so grateful, so very grateful. I know that I'm blessed and I'm thankful to say that you are my Father God. And Lord, I'm thankful for your gracious and mighty Son, the other love of my life, Christ Jesus, Father God. I thank you for the Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. And I ask you, Lord, in his name, to bless this word and let these words penetrate someone's heart, mind, and spirit, that they will look and pray and ask to be saved. For Lord God, we are workers in the vineyard. And we know that the harvest is plenty. And Lord, I'm praying for more labor to do what needs to be done to save this wicked world. Lord, we know that violence has already started. And Lord, we're praying that you forgive us and send a fresh rain. In Jesus' name, amen. Praying for the healing of this world, the healing of this nation. We have not treated God, this planet that God gave us. We haven't treated it very well. Trash in the oceans. The clouds you cannot even see because the smoke has blocked out the sun. I'm not praying for destruction of this world. I'm praying for salvation of mankind. But mankind has to want to be saved. We got to say in our hearts, Lord, what must I do to be saved? Do us accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. I got filled up this morning. Ooh, hallelujah. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And as we get ready to go in this word, we are coming out of Job chapter 13 and chapter 14, verse 22. We will be in Psalms 94, verses 12 through 19. And our title comes from Psalms chapter 94, verse 12. Our New Testament word is Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. So let's get started in our word. Welcome to Bible study. Hallelujah. And the word of God says, behold, my eyes have seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. And this is Job speaking. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. And he's talking to his friends who are just talking about him like a dog in his face. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to reason with God. But you forgers of lies, all worthless physicians, oh, that you would be silent and would be your, and it would be your wisdom. Now hear my reasoning. And he, the pleading of my lips, will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well with he searches you out? And I'm going to read that again. Will it be well when he searches you out? In other words, I'm talking the talk about you. But is my heart right? As I tell somebody about their situation, is my situation right? As I tell somebody how they need to take care of this and that, am I taking care of this and that? We need to check some self-evaluation before we form our lips to tell somebody else what they need to do. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to continue staying with us, and then you'll catch it. Hallelujah. And then as we continue, it says, will it be well when he searches you out? I say that again. Or can you mock him as one mocks a man? He will surely rebuke you. If you secretly show partiality, will not his excellence make you afraid and the dread of him fall upon you? Your platitudes are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Hold your peace with me and let me speak. Then let come to me what may. Read that again. Because I want it to penetrate. Hold your peace with me. One of them said, I can't hold my peace. You know, he's going to tell Job, I can't hold my peace. I got to tell you about yourself. And Job is speaking back and said, hold your peace with me and let me speak. Then let come on me what may. Why do I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Because Job, think about it. He's covered from head to toe with boils, sitting in some nasty ashes. Ashes covering him all over because he's in pain. Not only is he in physical pain, he's in mental pain, and he's in spiritual pain. You think about this. How would you feel if you lost 10 children at one time? How would you feel if you lost everything you had at one time? How would you feel if your spouse came and told you to curse God and die? How would you feel when you feel like God has forgotten about you? But then you know that you have done nothing wrong and that you still trust and love God. And you say to those that are vilifying you and talking about you, to your face, they backbiting. They're telling you to your face, I ain't holding my peace. Let me tell you about you. You must have done something wrong for all this calamity to happen to you. I remember when you was this and that, and you da-da-da-da-da. But this is what Job has to say. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you have a yet? Will I trust him in your spirit? Even when you're going through, yet I will trust him. Even when your air conditioner goes out on the hottest day in your season, when you say, yet I will trust him. So I'm thanking God this morning. As I spoke on yesterday's show, my air conditioner went out. The compressor in my central air went out. When I came home from work yesterday, my house, it was 91 degrees inside, 91. And this is with fans going everywhere, 91. And it was hotter in my house than it was outside. And understand, 91 was feeling like 100 degrees. I felt like I was outside, inside. Outside was cooler than my inside. But God, the people came to check it, fixed it. And I can tell you now, not one, I don't have a fan on because my central air is working and it is nice and cool. And I am thankful. I am grateful because I know that my God blessed me because it didn't even cost that much. Thank you, Jesus. Because the Lord knows your finances. He knows your situation. He knows what you're going through. He knows everything. And then, wait, they say, oh, don't worry about it. We will bill you. You don't have to pay for it right now. We'll bill you. I'm like, wow, look at God. Look at God. Get the bill when you get the check, hallelujah, and can pay it, you God. Thank you, God. Though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I did not get all bent out of shape. Even though it was hot, my room was cool. Because I said, Lord, I give it all to you. And my room was nice and cool. Even though 91 everywhere else, it was cool in my room. My fan was going, and my room was comfortable. Because I trust in God. Even though when I walked out my door from my bedroom to my hallway, it was like walking from inside to outside. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Even so, I will defend my own ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. And I can say, thank you, Lord, for being my salvation. Because forgiving cool air where there was nothing but heat coming out. Hallelujah. For a hypocrite could not come before him. We cannot come before God with a hypocritical heart. And Job is telling his story. He's like, I'm not a hypocrite. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. Though he slay me, I will trust him. Though I'm sitting here in ashes with boils all over my body, I will trust God. And he tells him, listen carefully to my speech and to my declaration with your ears. See now, I have prepared my case. I know what I shall be, that I shall be vindicated. Who is he who will contend with me? If now I hold my tongue, I perish. Only two things do not do to me, then I will not hide myself from you. Withdraw your hand far from me, and let not the dread of you make me afraid. Then call, and I will answer. Oh, let me speak, then you respond to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make me know my transgressions and my sin. Why do you hide your face and regard me as your enemy? Will you frighten a leaf driven to and fro? And will you pursue dry stubble? For you write bitter things against me and make me inherit the iniquities of my youth. You put my feet in the stocks and watch closely all my paths. You set a limit for the soles of my feet. Man decays like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. Chapter 14. Man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flees like a shuttle and does not continue. And do you open your eyes on such a one and bring me to judgment with yourself? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one, since his days are determined. The number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass. Look away from him that he may rest, till like a hired man he finishes his day. For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again. And I'm going to put a pin right there. It says, and that its tender shoots will not cease. I had a tree cut down. Oh, goodness, it had to have been maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago. Because the tree had died. And it had fallen over in a rainstorm. The tree had broke and fallen. And so I had to have somebody come and they cut it. But they did not remove the stump. And now, as I drive down my driveway, there's this tree grown from the stump. And it's growing big and beautiful. It is a beautiful tree. But it came from a stump. And it said, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again. And it has sprouted again. This tree is coming back just as big and just as beautiful and healthy. What? What will God? God will bring back what you think has been cut down. What a mighty God we serve. And it says, though its roots may grow old in the earth and the stump may die in the ground, the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. But man dies and is laid away. Indeed, he breathes his last, and where is he? As water disappears from the sea and a river becomes parched and dries up, so man lies down and does not rise till the heavens are no more. They will not awake nor be roused from their sleep. But Jesus, hallelujah, but Jesus has risen from the dead, and so will we have eternal life. Hallelujah, as long as you trust in God. Though he slay me, I will trust in him. Hallelujah. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath is past, that you would appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man dies, shall he live again? And the answer to that question is yes, Job. He will live again. All the days of my heart service, I will wait till my change comes. Hallelujah. Whew, until my change comes, I'm going to wait on the Lord. That's a word we need to keep. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? And we can say with Job emphatically, yes, he will. All the days of my heart service, I will wait until my change comes. We got to wait until our change comes. We got to wait until our change comes. Say it with me. I will wait until my change comes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You shall call and I will answer you. You shall desire the work of your hands. For now you number my steps, but do not watch over my sin. My transgression is sealed up in a bag, and you cover my iniquity. Hallelujah. The Lord has forgiven us and put our sins in the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. We got to let some things go. We want to hold on to our problems, but we got to learn how to tell our problems about our God. And it goes on to say in verse 18 of Job chapter 14, but as a mountain falls and crumbles away, hallelujah, and as a rock is moved from its place, as water wears away stones, and as torrents wash away the soil of the earth, so you destroy the hope of man. You prevail forever against him, and he passes on. You change his countenance and send him away. His sons come to honor, and he does not know it. They are brought low, and he does not perceive it. But his flesh will be in pain over it, and his soul will mourn over it. And that's Job. He's mourning. You know, when folks read Job, all they talk about is the devil did this and the devil did that. But what they don't understand is that when you go through, you're not worried about what the devil did. You're not worrying about any of that stuff. What you think about is that you lost your mother. You lost your father. You lost your sisters, your brothers, you lost your children. You lost everything that you had that was important to you. When I was young, the godparents that were in my life, that were part of my village, that helped my mother raise me, when they died a year apart. And I was just 20s. And it tore me up. It broke me down. Because they were my best buds. Besides my husband, they were my best friends. I talked to my godmother every day. And back then, it was those house phones. We didn't have cell phones in the 70s. We didn't have cell phones really in the 80s. The big boxes that you could hold in your hand that looked like a big phone. You know, with a little box that you could put in your car. Yeah, we thought we was cute. You know, we had the first cell phones. We thought my husband, you know, he was like one of those innovative people that just like having stuff. But 19 was when my godmother died. And I broke badly. Couldn't study. I was in college. Couldn't study. Couldn't think. Grades got messed up. Had good grades, messed my grades up. Because I just couldn't get over the loss. Then as I started to heal, I got pregnant. I was married, got pregnant senior year of college. And my dad died. My godfather died. She died in March of 82, and he died in July of 83. I was 7 months pregnant. And went through, but I was pregnant. And I was going through, but I was thanking God at the same time that he had blessed me to bring a life into this world. And I thank God he was a happy baby, a wonderful baby. For a first child, he was a pretty awesome first child, always smiling, always happy, you know. And I would pose him in different outfits and take his picture, you know. He was a wonderful baby. And I thank God for that. So even when you're going through, God will bring from your mourning, he will bring that joy in the morning. Hallelujah. I thank God for the joy in the morning. Gives you whatever it is to make you stronger. It took me a lot longer to get over my husband's death than even my parents. Because we were together longer than me and my parents. You know, I just say that. You know, my parents, we weren't together that long. But my husband and I were together 32 years. But you know what? God has said, okay, it's time to move on. It's time to let this man rest. Because understand, every time you go and you pick it up and you take all of that grief and put it back in, you are not alone. The person who is going to rest, they're trying to rest and you keep bringing them back up. We got to let folks rest. So you thank God for the time you had, and then you let them rest and move forward in your life. Because understand that it may have been, as it say, but his flesh will be pained over it, and his soul will mourn over it. Yes, we mourn. Yes, Job was going through. He was mourning. He was in pain. He was going through health, wealth, all those things that folks say are important. Your family, your health, your wealth, family and wealth. Because if you're not healthy, your family suffers right along with you. So you want to have health. And when you have that family that loves you, appreciate them. Appreciate them. And understand that money comes and money goes. But God is what's eternal. And what does he say? I will never leave you or forsake you, which means he will provide. All you have to do is trust in him. It may be your season coming up, your season for breakthrough, your season for restoration, your season for everything that the enemy may have stolen from you. God will give it back. But all you have, though he slay me, I will trust in him. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord. That is our word for this morning. Job was blessed because he was getting instructed. Even though he's saying all these things, he still is trusting God. And we're going to go back real quick before we go into the rest of our words to go through some life lessons from these two chapters of Job. Job chapter 13, that you would be silent and it would be your wisdom. Job 13:5, and it says, very often, more frequently than we know, our best counsel and most helpful advice is to say precisely nothing. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. And we read that in Proverbs 17:28. Sometimes you just need to be quiet and listen. I don't have to always give an opinion. And I am learning that every day, Lord, teach me to be quiet and just to listen. Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I say this. Thank you, Jesus. God is either worth trusting all the way to the end, or he not worth trusting at all. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. John 6:68. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We got to trust in God. Job 14:14. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. We have no more power to turn our sins into righteousness than a leper can change his spots. Jeremiah 13:23. Yet Christ has the power to remove our sins and replace them with his holiness if we will trust him. And Job 13:15. choosing to trust is what this life example is from Dr. Stanley. Job was a good and righteous man who walked in the ways of the Lord. In fact, his righteousness prompted God to say of him, there is none like him on earth, Job 1:8. God blessed Job for his righteousness, and so Job earned the title, the greatest of all the people of the East, Job 1:3. Yet Job endured unspeakable suffering, though he had done nothing wrong. He lost everything, his family, his wealth, his reputation, even his health. If that weren't enough, his wife and his friends offered him no real comfort. Job's friends told him that he had suffered because of some hidden sin in his life. Job is a stark biblical example of a fact we need to understand. Even those who are right before God suffer adversity. Come on now. Will we allow the suffering to tear down our faith or build it up? These are our only choices. In Job 13:15, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job chose to place his complete faith in God, his Redeemer, throughout all of his difficult circumstances. Job trusted God. We must trust God too. I trusted God that my heir would be put back on. I trusted God that it would be affordable. I trusted God that he would bring someone in who was a good person. And I trusted God. Things are working for my good. I'm trusting God today that even though I may be going through some time of instruction, I'm still blessed. I'm still thankful, grateful, and blessed because I know that my Father God is in the midst. I know that he has got it all under control. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. And as we continue in this word, because we're getting filled up, y'all. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, God, for a man like Job. It says, if a man dies, shall he live again? A dead man will live again, but only the saved will live in God's presence. Can y'all say that with me? A dead man will live again, but only the saved, and I say that, only the saved will live in God's presence. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him, John 3:36. And the word of God again in Psalms, which is our foundational word this morning, Psalms 94:12-19. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, for that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance, but judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord has been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comfort delights my soul. Hallelujah. Your comfort delights my soul. And as Psalms 94:12-13 says, blessed is a man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your way, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. And Dr. Stanley says this, in this verse, God gives us yet another reason to study his word. When we do, he may shorten the seasons of adversity that trouble us, perhaps by showing us how we may have contributed to the trouble. Come on now. Proverbs 26:26-27. Do not be one of those who shakes hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debt. If you have nothing with which to pay, why should he take away your bed from under you? I'm telling you, don't go out there co-signing for folks, and I'm including family in that, because understand, if they don't pay, you are responsible for it. And if you don't have it, you are responsible for it still. Understand, debt is debt. Whether it's your debt or somebody else's debt, if you sign for it, it's your debt. Just don't sign for something that you can't pay. Don't be a surety for something that you can't handle. Don't put your name out there on the dotted line if you can't handle the situation. So the bottom line is, what did the word of God say? Do not be one of those who shake hands in a pledge, one of those who is surety for debt. Don't take somebody else's debt. Now, not my word, but God's word. So folks can't say, well, you haven't, so you should. No, I'm not taking your debt. Your debt is your debt. My debt is my debt. And understanding, we got to follow the word of God. So many times we want to try to be there to help everybody, but you're not there. You are not God. Cannot help everybody. You got to take care of your home first before you go out there trying to take care of somebody else's. You got to learn how to take care of your stuff before you go out there trying to tell somebody else how to take care of theirs. God is watching every one of us, and he wants us to be better. He wants us to be better. Thank you, God. But Proverbs, when you need to know something worldwide, read a proverb. God will tell you about yourself. He will tell you that you're foolish. He will tell you that you are foolish when you do stuff. It's like, oh my God, there it is in Proverbs. God will tell you how to trust. God will, every little instruction you need on wisdom, it's in a proverb. A proverb a day keeps the devil away. That's what I say. Anyway, beloved, verses 1 through 18. I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. This is Paul speaking. Pastor Paul is in the house this morning. You know, we got to call it like it is. I am not preaching today. This is all the word of God. That's what I say. You can have a sermon at home before you go to church. You know, I love Pastor Pugh this morning. Morning Glory Nation, he said, you should be praising God before you leave your house. You should be getting a message from your word before you leave your house to go to church. You should already be prayed up, praised up, and ready when you walk through the doors. You should already have had a sermon before you walk through the doors. You should already have had your praise and your worship before you walk through the doors of the church, so that when you get there, you're already filled up and you're just bringing the Holy Spirit with you. We got to bring the Holy Spirit with us when we get to church. We shouldn't be sitting in a pew waiting for somebody to fill us up. We should be filled up before we get there. Hallelujah. And it says in chapter 11 of Romans, it says, I say then, has God cast away his people? Certainly not. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not cast away his people, whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? Pleaded with God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed your prophets and torn down your altars, and I alone am left. And they seek my life, when we're talking at Jezebel. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer grace. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have to obtain it, and the rest were blinded, just as it is written. You got to go, always go back to the word of God, and God's word will get you through and teach you what you need to say in any situation. God has given them a spirit of stupor. eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear to this very day. And David says, let their table become a snare and a trap, a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened so that they do not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Now if their fall is riches for the world and their failure riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. But if their being cast away is the reconciliating of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root is holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches were broken off and you begin, and you being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, came a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. But if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. And that's the life lesson that Dr. Stanley gave us this morning. It's from verse 18 of chapter 11 of Romans. And again, it preaches itself. If you do boast, remember that you do not support the root. Come on now. But the root supports you. I thank God. I thank God for the root that he placed in us through the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus, our Savior. Jesus, thank you for being the root of our salvation. Hallelujah. And as the word says, this is what Dr. Stanley has to say. Here Paul was exhorting the Gentiles to remember that they were being grafted in to the covenant that God had given to Abraham, David, and the nation of Israel by God's mercy. Likewise, we must always remember that our faith has a context and history. We cannot be true students of the New Testament without also embracing the Old Testament. We got to know the root. And the root is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Hallelujah. And the root for us is Jesus Christ, our Savior, who grafted us in through his blood, who grafted us in through the sacrifice of his life, who grafted us in through the being the risen Savior sitting at the right hand of the Father, who grafted us in because we are his and he is ours. We thank God for giving us a root of salvation. Ooh, hallelujah. I trust you, Lord, and I thank you, Father God, for instruction. For I know that I know that I know I am being blessed because you don't have time for those that you don't love. You don't have time to be chastising those that you don't care about. You don't have, Lord, you're just getting sick and tired of being sick and tired of all of our foolishness. And so, Lord, I thank you for blessing me with instruction. I thank you for this basic instruction before leaving earth, that I can come in, look, and know this is what my daddy said. And I got to follow what my daddy said. I got to do what my daddy said do. I got to go where my daddy said go. I'm going to follow these basic instructions before leaving this earth, so that when you call me home, Lord, I will be ready. When you call us all home, Lord, we will be ready because we have read the basic instructions. Hallelujah. We have read our basic instructions, and we know we got to dig deeper and go wider and know that we are looking higher. And I thank you, God, for your grace, for your mercy, for your goodness and your kindness. And I thank you, Lord, for your instruction. And before we get out of here this morning, let us go to a word from my sister in Christ. And if there's anyone that has a word that they would like to speak, please push the number 1 on your phone. Hallelujah. And a word from my sister in Christ this morning is this. God has a purpose for your pain, come on now, a reason for your struggle, and a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Hallelujah. Right there, she could be answering Job. When Job was speaking, Sister Carolyn has an answer for Job. God has a purpose for your pain. Hallelujah. A reason for your struggle. And a gift for your faithfulness. Don't give up. Don't give up. Though he slay me, I will trust him. Blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law. Your instruction may bring a little pain. Your instruction may bring some struggle. But understand through your instruction and your faith in our Father God, a gift for your faithfulness. God is going to bless you. He is not going to stress you. Hallelujah. Don't give up, as Sister Carolyn said. And have a worry-free Wednesday, family. God has got a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for all of our life. All we have to do is believe and trust God and know that everything is working for your good. Why? Because you are called according to God's purpose. And that's the whole point. We are not called for anybody's purpose but God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will, I promise you, direct your path. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap. It's time to go to work. I love you all. Be blessed. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and glorious day. It is, what do we say? It's a wrap. Have a blessed day.